to The Doula Dispensary, the podcast prescribing a weekly dose of all things doula. The dilemmas discussed are made-up scenarios, and any resemblance to actual persons or events are purely coincidental. Please welcome your hosts, Siobhan and myself, Kiki.
Hello, Siobhan!
Hi, Kiki!
You?
I'm good. Welcome to podcast episode number 38. And today Yay. We are actually in a Zoom meeting with lots of birthplace doulas. Yes, so this is going to be an experience because we've never done this before, have we?
Never.
So what we usually do here, we ask everyone, how have you been up to this week? Anyone want to share what they've been doing?
Hey, I got a birth client this week.
Oh, Cheryl. Okay, so one birth client. Are you doing that remotely, Cheryl? Or are you actually going to be supporting in person?
Sorry, I've got a very noisy three-year-old. She's due in November. So we're hoping that things will be okay by then. And if we need to do antenatal sessions on Zoom, then that's fine.
Perfect. Excellent. Okay, anyone else have any clients booked this last week?
I've got somebody in labour at the moment.
Oh, so Grania, you're actually at the moment doing some remote support.
Yeah, all going quite well. Mum's had a couple of days of it. Labour's been sort of on and off. So, yeah, Zoom calls and telephone calls and lots of messages.
Okay, I can imagine. It must be absolutely exhausting to be doing remote support, actually, because last night I did antenatal session, or actually a birth preparation thing via Zoom with a Swedish couple, and I have never met them, and it's so weird when you're actually talking to people that you haven't met, but even weirder when you have to speak. I know that's my original like language, but I couldn't think of any of the words. I was thinking cervix, what's that in Swedish, what's womb in Swedish. It was so embarrassing. In the end I was just take me away from here, but it worked out all right. Actually, we only did an hour and a half out of a 3-hour session, because I said, how are you all feeling? You know, we've gone through quite a lot, should we take a break? And they all agreed, so I was very happy about that. Maybe they don't want to hear anymore. But Siobhan, what have you been doing?
Just a lot of support with birth. Some postnatal support. That's with a client I've never met.
How do you do postnatal support remotely? Tell me.
Well, lots of dad holding the camera, breastfeeding support, that sort of thing.
Okay, cool. Brilliant. Well, I guess we should move along and get cracking with the show and invite all these lovely doulas. Yeah, let's do that. Ba-da-ba-da-bow. Doula dilemmas.
That was funny. So yeah, in case you didn't get it, that is this week's doula dilemma.
Okay, so a doula is working with a mum who is a little bit older in her pregnancy, or so she feels herself, and she's a professional person who's been working all her life and now is expecting a baby. And one of the things that's been very important to her is the way she looks. So she feels very concerned and a little bit stressed out about the way her body is changing. And she is concerned that she might not be looking the same after she's had a baby. And this is something that plays on her mind. The doula is not quite sure how to best support her in this, because it's a bit of a tricky situation.
Interesting dilemma.
Yes, and I think this is probably not just, I think most women perhaps feel a little bit like this, the whole body morphing and changing. So it's and when you're there as a postnatal doula, even as women supporting other women, this is something that we all often, maybe not everyone, but many struggle with, whatever your body shape is. It doesn't matter if you are very thin or if you're a little bit, you feel like you're a bit more fuller built, and how we support that women. But Has anyone got any good suggestions? What can the doula do to support? I think Jackie would like to put something in the mix.
Yeah, Kiki, I think understanding the physiology of birth and how the everything relaxes and the hormones and that, I know you lose a lot of control through pregnancy and what your body does, and just understanding the physics of it all. I know I remember you talking about laying down the ingredients for breastfeeding through your pregnancy, which I absolutely loved. Just understanding why your body's changing is really helpful.
Yeah, that's really good. So for the doula to explain that, because she's not actually working with her for birth, she's actually going to be the postnatal doula, but this woman keeps, you know, coming back to her for some extra support, which is actually another thing in itself, I think, because that can be a bit of a dilemma, being hired to do the postnatal part of the support, and then the postnatal client is also using you for antenatal support. So I guess that's another bit of a dilemma. I don't know if anyone else has come across that, when you feel that maybe you should have made it more clear that this is what I do as a postnatal doula and this is what I do as a antenatal doula or a birth doula. It's kind of something missing in the middle there, I guess. So Cheryl, you've got something you want to say, yeah?
I was just going to say, in relation to postnatal clients, I think it's not necessarily people wanting to take advantage of the doula. I think it's more that they don't recognise what their needs are. So when I was approached to be someone's postnatal doula a few months ago, I had a nice conversation with her, and she said, my postnatal period last time was really rubbish and I really don't want it to be like that again. And, you know, it sounds like you're the right person to support me in that time. And I said to her, yeah, you know, I really want to support you postnatally, but from what you've told me, I think actually your birth itself impacted a lot on your postnatal time. And actually, because most of what I do is antenatal teaching, I said, you will need less support postnatally if you get more input antenatally. Because I really do believe that. And I know sometimes people do need the physical support, but it wasn't so much physical support, it was emotional support she was after. Mm-hmm. So I've convinced her to do more hours with me antenatally than postnatally. So she's hired me for both. But we had that conversation right at the very beginning, because it was clear to me that if she had better support antenatally, she would feel better postnatally.
That's brilliant. That's really good to find out actually what it is the client's looking for, I guess, in detail, rather than just kind of assume that they know what they want, because so many women don't, or so many clients don't know what it is they actually need support with. But going back to the actual dilemma, how do you reassure someone that's really worried about what their body's going to look after they've had a baby? I mean, apart from what Jackie was saying, was really good suggestions. And Agneta, you want to add something to that?
I haven't been in that situation yet, but I think if I was, then I would try to, first of all, I agree about whole physiology, about good preparation, but also maybe about talking about how women do recover, especially those days. You know, we've got so much knowledge about our body. We also know that pregnancy, yes, you can spoil yourself a little bit with eating, but it doesn't mean that you have to eat for six people. And that's important to remember. And also, I would maybe tell her that I can signpost her, because I know quite a few, like personal trainers who run those classes for mummies and babies, and they talk about nutrition, they talk about pelvic floor, and they do exercise together in a park to make sure they go back to shape. And I think women are recovering a bit better those days because they know much more. And if she maybe could talk to that trainer, or even see the classes, how they look, because not everyone wants to go straight to the very intense exercising. But I know one lady who does those classes, and she does them very gently, and she's got great understanding of recovering after the birth. And and she also does nutritional support. And so I think if she could see that lots of mums do recover and they look really well. And you don't have to be, you know, like lose your body and stay in their tracksuit bottoms for the rest of your life, and you can go back to where you were.
Yeah, no, thank you, Annetta. I mean, Cheryl, you want to add something?
Yeah, I don't want to monopolise the conversation, but I think if this was my dilemma, I'd feel a bit torn because, yeah, I've got those signposts as well, you know, the fitness and the health and that sort of thing. But I think a lot of our issues as women about our bodies are not really physical issues in themselves. They're mindset, their self-esteem issues. So I'd be looking at doing some mindset shifting really, rather than looking, yeah, the practical signposting can be supportive and helpful, but I would really want all my clients to know that actually their body changing is what their body is supposed to do to support the, you know, the giving birth and and providing nutrition to their baby. And just because society thinks that we should look hello just because society thinks that we should look a certain way doesn't mean that that's right. And I know that that's quite a challenge, but from a kind of, you know, I've found myself becoming very feminist these days since I've come into the world of birth, because you see the inequalities, and I think it's very unfair of society to expect women to bounce back. And that's the language that we hear all of the time, that we're supposed to somehow be the same as before and yet so much more, and be keeping a baby alive and providing all of this care for somebody else as well as that, and I think that is a big takes a big emotional toll, and I don't feel it at all. Like I don't agree with it at all. I really think that we should be challenging the system and the patriarchy, and saying, do you know what, I don't care, I'm just going to be happy with however I look. Rather than, and who, I know it's a case by case thing, because you can't just expect to switch people's mindsets straight away and overnight, but I think gentle kind of encouragement and self-esteem building and look how wonderful you are because of what you've done, rather than look how wonderful you are because of how you look, which is what we get a lot, isn't it? Oh, don't you look great? Or you look fantastic. Mm. Oh, you're glowing. Like, how about you're growing a baby? That's amazing. You're keeping a baby alive. That's amazing. Because actually what we do is more important than how we look. And how we feel is more important than how we look as well. So we can feel good without necessarily looking the way that we think we should.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's like one of my daughters said to her sister, so my two kids, they were talking about it, and she said, the thing is, you're not feeling unhappy because of the way you look. You're actually feeling unhappy because the way you think you should look, which is quite an interesting theory, because that's often the case, isn't it? That we have this ideal that we, and I think it's difficult if you're supporting someone that has got like some body image issues, because yes, whilst we can think it's not that important, like what you look like, that's all they focus on. So it's kind of getting the balance right, being supportive without making them feel like they're being silly for thinking like that, or making them feel like they have to sign up for a program to get back into shape straight afterwards. But I do know women sometimes don't eat properly when they're pregnant because they don't want to put on weight, because they don't understand the physiology, how important that is. So does anyone else want to say anything?
Em has something.
Sorry?
I was going to say, Em, I think, wanted to say something.
I'm supporting a lady in the next couple of months at birth who is paid for how she looks. So that's such a big part of her pregnancy and her pregnancy anxieties and her decision of how she wants to give birth as well, is because of her job. And so I've been definitely going down the route of how can she do that safely then, rather than, because I'm absolutely encouraging her with her her mindset as well of how amazing she is and what her body's doing, but it's quite a different perspective for her because she needs to be able to keep in shape, sadly, really, but you know, in that way that she earns her living, but in a safe way.
Yeah, it's a big challenge. So Annetta, you still want to add something?
Yeah, I just wanted to add something just quickly. I think it's a combination of things. So it's okay, like it took me a while to go to school and pick up my son without makeup because I felt like I'm going out without the mask. So definitely there is something about it, but I also think it's a combination of things. Generally, we as women, we like to look nice for ourselves, not necessarily. It's combination. It's a bit of both. It's to get that right balance. But I know, like, I've got mums. I have mum now that I'm supporting. And she actually texted me, you know, oh, it was such a beautiful day. We went out first time. And, you know, and I put makeup and I dressed up and I looked and I felt so good. And I know that, you know, like when we have, especially now you can feel it, like, you know, because we are stuck at home, we don't go out much. So we don't have to put that much effort. And I can see on myself that when the day comes, I've got Zoom or I have to have an antenatal on video. And I actually do, like, okay, what am I going to wear? And I have to put a bit of makeup, a bit of effort. And I do feel better about myself. So I think it's combination of both. It's just, you know, sometimes women like to wear nice underwear, not for other person. They like to wear it for themselves. They like how they look in it. So, yeah. I think there's combination of things. It's the same, like, I think with exercising already, if you prepare yourself for exercising, you get yourself, you know, nice leggings or nice trainers, or you look good, you know, you're already a bit fitter just by looking at yourself, at your image, how you look, because you just, you know, got that lovely sport clothes. So I think it's combination of a bit of everything, and everyone is different. So to suit your client.
Yeah, I guess that's the important thing, to listen to the client. Like in Em's situation, that is something that's a high priority for her. So therefore, we need to support her in that. Well, it might be also someone we're supporting that has got some eating disorder in the past or something. And then we have to look at that as well. So I think, like, a combination of what you've said about signposting, about thinking about it from a mental health point of view, even mental belief about ourselves, and also the kind of society's view on what we are meant to look like as women, is a massive topic. So quite a challenging dilemma. Siobhan, you still haven't, do you want to add something?
No, I think it's been covered well and truly. Yeah.
No, Sarah wants to maybe say something.
I just wanted to add, kind of on top of what everyone said, which I completely agree with, especially for people who have had an eating disorder or body dysmorphia type thing, that it can be also an element of control. So helping them take that control back in their lives and make a plan. So what to expect in kind of the first 6 weeks, and then a plan to getting where they'll be happy with in the first year or 9 months, and understanding that process and how long it can take, but definitely giving them that control of their own environment and body and how they feel, I think, is really important.
Yes, thank you. Very good points there. So, well, I guess that is enough to deal with this dilemma. So hopefully that's given everyone some food for thought.
Ba-da-ba-da-bow. Okay, so now it's time for
question time.
Okay, so this week, Sally, I think you've got a question, haven't you?
I have, yes. I've got a mum who's very anxious, third time baby, hoping to have a home birth, but all the same, she's very anxious. She said she's fine during the day, obviously when she's busy, but at night she gets very nervous, anxious, finds it hard to breathe. She's trying to listen to her tapes and music and relax, but she just starts to panic and finds it hard to breathe. So I haven't replied to her again today. I was trying to think of what to say and do to help her just to relax more at night.
So Sally, is that linked to, is it because she's worried about the home birth or the birth itself? Or
the birth itself. I mean, Carla's spoken to this mummy as well, but she's very anxious of it. Her previous two births, labours were very quick, and she felt out of control. She's nervous of the pain. I think she has OCD as well. She's been diagnosed. So, yeah, she's just very anxious about the whole thing.
Okay,
so there is generally anyway, there's a lot of anxiety around birth at the moment, added to the fact that she does obviously have OCD as well. It's not going to help. Does anyone want to chip in here? Has anyone got any suggestions for Sally?
I would suggest that you get your client to write everything down that she's thinking prior to going to bed. So she could literally write like a diary or a journal. There's a saying, you know, when you put things to the back of your mind, all your trauma is based at the front of your head. So the expression, put it back to the back of your mind, is your long-term memory for your storage for trauma. So writing things down can help transition that frontal trauma, which is your frontal thinking, which is where you're thinking things over and over and over again, which happens most likely at night because you're quieter at night. You can actually start to transfer that trauma to the back of your mind. So writing things down and getting them out in the open is one way to do it. There's also a really good app called Mindfulness, which is really good. It's like a meditation map that's really beneficial that I always pass on to my clients with regards to anxiety, trauma. And there's also grounding. So you can also tell your client the 5-4-3-2-1 technique, which helps process anxiety and reduces panic attacks in the moment. So it's five things that you can see around the room, four things you can touch in the room, three things that you can hear, two things that you can taste, and one thing that you can smell. And that just helps you ground yourself in the moment and helps reduce panic attacks and like sort of nips it on the bud before
That's
you get
really
the
good.
Yeah, it's the grounding technique that I always use with my clients who are struggling with anxiety and panic attacks. And it just helps them come back into this moment and makes them feel back in control of the situation. So that's always what I would suggest.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks.
They're really, really good suggestions, Imogen. Has anyone else got anything else they'd like to add to that? Cheryl?
Has she done any hypnobirthing before?
Yeah, she's got some hypnobirthing tapes, she said, that she's listening to.
Okay. Only because, I mean, most of my clients have experienced birth trauma before, because that's my story, so that's who I attract. And I teach hypnobirthing, so most of them manage to be able to think positively about birth because of the hypnobirthing course. If she's only accessing it through listening to CDs and things, she might benefit from speaking to somebody, even if it's just a chat, like just a on the phone chat, from a hypnobirthing perspective. So that's kind of my two pence.
Right, okay, check that.
Well, hopefully that's given you some good suggestions, Sally.
Yes, thank you.
It is hard when we have clients that are really scared and anxious and they can't sleep, and all we want to do is take that all away from them so they don't have to feel like that and be like that leading up to birth. And that's really tricky. So I'm glad that you have each other, if you're talking to other doulas, Sally, as well, so that you don't have to sit with it all on your own, because it gets so overwhelming, because we do want to help. That's why we do what we do. So, but sometimes it's also important for the person to have to go through that and come to an end with it themselves, you see. So sometimes it's like journaling, really good idea, doing some listening to relaxations, but actually putting down on paper, this is what my biggest fear is, and then it kind of dilutes it a bit. So Imogen has some really good ideas. Well, Cheryl, so all of the ideas was really good. So hopefully that is helped you on your way, and everyone else that's having similar issues in today's climate in the birth world.
Thank you.
So I reckon we should leave that there then. Siobhan, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's covered that well and truly. Ba-da-ba-da-bow.
The Doula Dose, your weekly dose of doula.
Thank you, Annabelle, for that lovely introduction. So now it's time for this week's doula dose.
Or dose of doula.
What is this week's dose of doula?
Now you know better, Siobhan. What is this week's dose of doula? Come on, give it to us.
It's the current climate in the COVID situation.
Okay, in the actual birthing world?
The birthing world, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, so what do you want to start talking about? Bring up a topic.
Well, I think there definitely has been an impact on how babies are being born due to, obviously, everybody feeling the stress of this virus. So there seems to be a lot of babies in the transverse or breech position on the lead up to their due dates. There also seems to be, well, I know in my local trust, there's definitely an increase in cesarean rates. It's way, way above national average for last month. And also a lot of inductions. So, you know, women, their bodies are holding on to these babies. Again, it could be to do with the fear of going into a hospital. It's the last place anyone wants to be at the moment, in a hospital. So I don't know what anyone else thinks about that.
I just wanted to say something on the whole position of the baby as a breech baby or a transverse baby, because there was always this talk about that when a baby went into breech position, that it could be because the baby wanted to be closer to the mummy's heart beat because they were feeling the stress of the mum, so they were trying to comfort the mum. There's obviously no research to confirm that, but it's interesting that that's one of the things we're seeing anecdotally happening when we are in a time of stress. And actually, that would be interesting to do a study on that in a country where people are always under stress, because we're quite lucky. So that's, anyone else want to add to that?
Has anyone else noticed with their clients or in their local trust, have you noticed difference in statistics and things happening?
The woman that I'm supporting, her baby's transverse, and they keep, so that's really interesting, because she's due on Sunday, and so she keeps going in, they keep scanning or measuring and being worried. But that's really interesting to think that maybe it's because she is quite anxious about everything.
Yeah.
I might reassure her to say that the baby might suddenly change.
That's very true, Carla. Or you could even often talking to the baby. So the mum saying to the baby, look, it's safe, we're going to be fine, but you're not helping me right now. You know, you need to turn in a better position, or this, we're going to have some problems here, or something like that.
I'll tell her.
Yeah.
Good. Brilliant.
Do you think it could be because some of them, of the mums are sitting around a little bit more, maybe not doing as much as they were doing before? I remember you always said about women scrubbing floors and all that and turning babies round in the course. So maybe people are sitting around a little bit more than they perhaps were doing. Don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jan. That we're just physically less active, or we can't go shopping, walk around the shops looking for babies things, maybe that women were doing more. That could, I guess, be something.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Anybody else got anything to add? Anybody noticed anything different?
My trust assure me that there are no changes, that it's the same. But saying that, I've run the MVP page, and practically all of the stories that I've had so far have been either C-sections or inductions. So that's funny, isn't it? Yeah. But that's not what I'm being told from a statistic level, but I'm yet to be updated on that. I was wondering as well, when we were saying reasons for babies presenting breech or in transverse position, whether that could be to do with anxiety in physically in the body. So if we're anxious and we're tensing a lot, it leaves less room for baby to move. So in which case, doing some relaxations might help with supporting mum to get baby to turn too, as well as talking to babies.
Yeah.
What about positive changes? I know, Gráinne, you've seen some, haven't you, or a parent once?
Yeah, so some on one of our calls actually for MVP, the midwives were saying how it's nice on the wards, and actually a couple of mums also mentioned that when they went in, antenatal and postnatal wards, that everyone's chatting to each other, much more open and having a laugh. And apparently at one point on the induction ward, everyone was sitting around on balls. There was about six mums bouncing around and laughing, you know, about something and chatting. So that's quite a nice thing. Although it'd be interesting because there was talk as well about, you know, the learns from what we're going through at the moment and whether actually visitors and things like that aren't good for wards. So that was, yeah, that was a bit of sort of, yeah, insight into what hospitals might be thinking going forward as well.
Which you could say was a little bit worrying if some of these policies that have come in place, where we've gone so far in some hospitals now where husbands or partners can stay overnight in the postnatal wards. Now we could be going back to, that's it, you go in, have your baby, you stay in for 7 days and no one's allowed to see you, you're not allowed out, and then you go home. You know, I'm exaggerating here a bit, but it could be a worry. Well, Natalie,
I just want to add, that really scares me for the bonding with the fathers or partners. I feel like with both my births, like having my partner there was such a big part of it. And like having his bond with both his children was formed in those rooms. And I know for some people that's not always possible. My mum had 2 crash cesareans, so my dad was not at either me or my sister's birth. Which I don't think it affected necessarily. But yeah, I would be really worried going forward if partners weren't encouraged to be with the women.
Yeah, it kind of brings it back then to that this is the woman's job. Like, because the woman goes in, has the baby, looks after the baby initially for the first 1 or 2 days. And then it feels like, you know, you get maybe potentially get into this kind of rut that's what I'll be doing this because I am not involved in looking after the baby until the baby gets a bit more fun, but that might not be the case either. But you don't know. What about breastfeeding rates? Anything going on about that?
I've heard that they are going up because less intervention perhaps after the birth, so mums can kind of find their way. But there's also some great online support as well. So that's really easily accessed, and it's a lot cheaper because they're not having to go somewhere, you know, make that journey to somewhere. So that's a positive.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wonder if it's also because they are understanding how important breastfeeding, what a difference it can make, you know, especially when we always know, the general population knows about the immunity you get from breast milk. That's always talked about. And the weight that you lose when you're breastfeeding. Those are like generally the 2 things that everyone knows about, which there's so much more to breastfeeding than that. But maybe they're really listening. Maybe they're really worried now that they want to make sure the baby gets this immunity.
I think a lot of the associations have really, you know, they've really stepped up to the mark, haven't they? And you've got lots of lactation consultants now running Facebook groups, Zoom calls, all doing it, you know, completely free of charge. So I think that the support is really excellent at the moment for breastfeeding. If you can access social media, then yeah, it's fantastic.
And they've got less visitors, well, no visitors coming in as well when you're trying to get to grips with it, which is mm-hmm. always something that interferes with when you're trying to learn anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Natalie?
I had a client who was, she gave birth and then like 3 days later we went into lockdown. And then there was the whole hysteria around like grocery shopping, and she actually carried on breastfeeding because she couldn't get hold of the formula, which was really interesting. And she's now doing really well, but she was adamant even in the antenatal. She was like, I don't want to breastfeed, like maybe I'll do it for a few days and then see how it goes. And then by day 3, when she was sort of thinking about some formula and bottles and she couldn't get hold of it, she just carried on, and now she's 7 weeks, I think.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And did someone mention that maybe, you know, that they read somewhere that they don't weigh babies anymore. Is that right? Have they stopped coming in to weigh babies?
There's only at the moment, there's only the day 5 newborn check happening face to face. So you're not having that initial sort of visit from the midwife. And again, I don't think that their discharge is also being done over the phone unless there's issues. Obviously, then they won't discharge you. So I think there's less of that sort of worry about the baby's weight. I think that they, you know, there's a little bit of leeway there, which is obviously making everybody a bit more relaxed. People aren't just rushing to top up with formula. There could be some of that going on. I don't know.
Yeah, Anita, you want to say something?
I just want to say, or opposite, I had opposite situation because I actually support a client who had a baby at 34 weeks. A little bit premature, but everything was well, so she was sent to home quite quickly. But because of the visits, which are not happening, so she had one visit after she got home, and then so that was like day four, day five, and then she had really long break. And when the midwife came, she was saying, oh, I don't think he put much on weight, where mom thought she was doing really well. The milk came in and he was really doing well. But I think she didn't put into consideration that he still might have lost some weight by the day seven, and he only caught up with the weight. So I think because she didn't have those visits regularly, that was the missing link. And that got her really stressed out. So, but obviously then we had like proper telephone conversation with her and her partner, and I was trying to reassure them. And yeah, and surely 3 days later, he was putting on weight really nicely. But that got her really stressed out that, you know, she's doing something which is not right. And being at home with premature baby without midwife support, it's quite stressful.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So Sarah, you got your hand up? Sarah, you want to join? Yes, so that it can be, I guess, pros and cons going on the whole time. Yes, Carla wants to say something.
I was just going to say something about the positive. The fact that the family unit doesn't get all the visitors coming in all the time, the bonding seems to be, I know, on a personal note, a friend of mine's baby was born, and the three of them have just bonded so beautifully because there's no outside, not continuously people coming to visit and things. And it's really, I think they've started, it's really rather a wonderful time in that way.
Mm. Yeah, so some of this forced separation, because that's one of the big things often we hear as doulas with the new mums we're working with, or new families, that everyone came around, the baby was passed around to everyone, the mum ends up in the bedroom upstairs crying, saying, to her partner, can everyone just go home? I just can't do this right now. And I guess that is not happening now because we can't have that. So, this is really, for some, that is a disaster. Others, and for others, it's the greatest thing. So it's really interesting. But at least maybe some people that hadn't thought about these things that are good because they just happen because they've got no choice now, have actually found them really helpful. So it's interesting how maybe it's become a little bit more back to how it used to be. Maybe the more like the family, the mum and the dad, or the mum and the partner, they have to get on with it and look after the baby without everyone coming to take over in a way. Yeah, well, that was a nice and interesting little insight, I guess, what we are seeing as doulas working with our clients and hearing what coming through on the grapevines from all the different hospitals.
Yeah. So should we leave that one there?
Yeah, I think so.
Ba-da-ba-da-bow. So we've reached the end of the show.
Yes.
Yay. And it's been brilliant because we have had 16 people with us today, which has been great.
It has been. It's been interesting to see how we work out who talks when, because I was reading about these issues with Zoom meetings, is that you can't pick up on any of the cues at all. So everything gets a bit like, should I talk? Should I not talk? Who's talking next? And it's interesting how much we actually do that when we are with people, how much of body language, all these invisible to our conscious mind, but so necessary for socializing with people. It's really, I think it's like a social experiment to see how actually much we do need to be with people for it to really flow nicely in our conversations and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, yeah, what are you up to next week then?
Well, me personally, next week I've got the first ever Birth Bliss doula course via Zoom. Oh. So I'm having a few sleepless nights thinking I was like, my practice run last night with just an antenatal for 3 hours, and I'm like exhausted after an hour. It's a good practice for me. But yeah, we'll just have to see. I mean, I have said to them all, I did only take 10 people on the course. Well, I could have had a lot more. I have a long waiting list. I could have had another 10 on it, but I just didn't want to. I've thought with my first course, 10 is big enough. And there's 16 of you here. So that's given me a bit of a experiment. But hopefully it will be what it is. It is what it is, isn't it?
It is what it is, yeah. But it is exhausting, Zoom. I've noticed that. I thought maybe it was just that I don't come from a background of, you know, working with laptops and stuff like that. But I'm hearing it from everybody. Working this way is really exhausting.
So,
good luck with 4 days of it.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I read an article this morning. It's exhausting because it's a lot of background noise going on. Sometimes you're trying to focus on a voice that might be breaking up. So you're trying to make sense of filling in the gaps where you can't hear properly. You then also just not being able to read on all the cues. So you don't feel relaxed. You don't know what you're feeling. You don't know what the person you're talking to is feeling. So you're all like a bit on edge, not really feeling like you can just relax and talk. So yeah, it's a lot of challenges. It's Zoom exhaustion. So you need to have some kind of a break. I did say that to everyone that's coming on the course. You need to make sure you go out, take a walk around the garden, or stick your head out the window, get some fresh air. Don't sit in front of the screen when we have a break and eat your lunch, for example, because I think that's just gonna, I mean, I don't even know what I'm gonna be like.
Yeah. So what about anybody else? What's everybody else up to next week? Someone's having fun.
There,
I'm on call for a home birth, which I think will be absolutely amazing. So she's just passed her due date now, so any day now. But it will be the first one with a sibling present who's hoping to be part of the birth. So that will be really, really interesting. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
Oh, so you're going to that birth, aren't you, Sarah?
Yeah, this one's a home birth, and I've been working with her since before this all started. So we've both been doing our social distancing so that we can be there together. But then I guess we'll have to see what happens if she does have to transfer into the hospital. I think her husband will be staying with their daughter, and then I'll go with her.
Oh, we look forward to hearing all about that in our next Zoom virtual gathering.
I will fill you in.
Yeah, good luck with that, Sarah. Sounds Thanks. Exciting.
Anybody else doing anything? Anything coming up for them?
Well, what are you doing? Did you say what you're doing in? Oh, Gráinne, sorry.
It's all right. No, next week's going to be social media week for me. So I'm going to try and get ahead with a bit of social media and, try and get a bit more to grips with it.
Good. You're brave.
Well, I haven't done it yet.
Well, Siobhan, what are you doing next week?
I had one baby born yesterday.
Woohoo!
Postnatal catch up with that baby. And then hopefully another baby very soon for somebody who's in labour as we speak. So hopefully that baby will be born soon. A bit of that. And actually, like Gráinne, I'm also doing some social media. So I've signed up to some workshops. So I've got two workshops to do about social media this week. So I'm looking forward to doing that.
Yes, but we don't want you to be signing up to too many social media workshops, because we've got some coming in the Birth Bliss Academy.
I know. Yes, the lovely Em.
Yes, it's here right now.
How's that coming along, Em?
I'm literally doing it right now. I could share my screen and show you it. I had a bit of a hold up. My neighbour decided to do some building, so it was a bit of a nightmare, but he's had a break today. So I'm back on it.
Yeah, it's hard to record something that you're going to be putting out there with like builders, a building going on in the background. That's one of the things when you try to record anything.
Yes. Chopping things down or banging hammers. It's a bit of a nightmare.
Totally. We know that when we sit here and we're recording the podcast and we have even rain or what was it that was going off once when we were doing it? Some kind of fireworks all the time. Yeah.
Fireworks. And we had that really heavy rain, which we didn't realize you could really hear it on the podcast.
Yeah.
What else have we had? Your neighbor was doing some building work.
Kids coming in and out of the room when you're trying to do Zoom.
Yes, dogs barking or drinking.
Dogs drinking out of their water bowl. That's always good. Anybody else then got anything exciting coming up? No.
That's it.
More of it. More lockdown. Yeah, we're in it for a little while longer for sure.
Yes. Yeah. At least the weather's going to get better. It's really freezing cold this week, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, really cold, yeah. But it's been really good this week, so...
Yes!
Should we have a little run around and say thank you to everybody?
Yes. Do you go on then?
Go on then, you do it, Kiki.
Thank you, Anita, for coming joining us. Thank you, Em. And we have Carla. Thank you, Carla. And Jackie. Yes, and Natalie and Gronja, and we got Jan.
Hi.
Sally, we got Nicola and Imogen, and we have the lovely Steph and Sophie and Mael, who's joined us here at the end, and Sarah, of course, and the lovely Siobhan. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for being with us this week.
It was great.
To have other people and other people's input. We really enjoyed it.
Did I say Imogen? Did I forget about Imogen? Thank you, Imogen's there. I must have missed her out.
Imogen, no? Oh. Last but not least.
You definitely said my name.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I would have told you if you hadn't.
Okay, so you all know the tune. You all know to join in. All that leaves us to say is...
See you next Thursday!
Listeners should always do their own due diligence on any information received from these discussions to form their own opinions and best judgments. In preparing this podcast, we have endeavoured to offer current, correct and clearly expressed information aimed at our audience. However, we make no claims that the information will be accurate, complete or current at all times, and we accept no liability for any reliance placed by any person on this information. We make no representations or warranties of any kind about the suitability, reliability, timeliness and accuracy of the information contained herein.